You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Hello there, and welcome to Thank the Maker, a podcast about heroes, princesses, scoundrels, hokey religions, ancient weapons, and all things Star Wars. My name's Adam Russell.
My name is Ryan Key. Am I the only one who got dressed up tonight?
Yeah, I'm just wearing a wrestling tee. Hey, I'm Nick. What's up, everyone?
Hey, I'm Mike.
Hey, Mike.
Nice to see you guys. So lovely to see you guys.
It is, and every week we're supposed to make podcasts, and then we just remind each other how much we love each other and hanging out, and then we don't start our podcasts because we just hang out and talk.
This was quick. 6:30 or 8:30?
I miss you guys.
Yeah, same.
But I miss real life. I miss real life hangs, you know?
Yeah.
Where's our Star Cruiser?
Do I have to say my whole name, Adam? Is that what you're going to say?
Yeah. Say your whole name. Tell the people.
I realized that as soon as I said it, I was like, oh no. All right.
You're so down and dumpy sounding.
It's Mike Forrester. So lovely to see you guys.
There you go.
Hey.
There's the happy Michael I know.
Yeah, it's we're climbing back up out of a pit right now. We did hang out and talk about how we're friends and all this fun stuff. But prior to that, we were talking about the literal end of the world.
The opposite.
I had to go get a drink.
So, and it's largely because Andor was pushed back 3 weeks. And I think if it would have been at the end of this month, we wouldn't have had that conversation.
Yeah.
But, you know, unfortunately, the powers that
be. We're running out of time, Star Wars.
Yeah.
We don't have 3 weeks to spare right now,
we
man.
We can't delay this.
Nick said we're all going to be dead in 20 years. That's where our conversation went.
I meant that was a verbatim statement.
Just us four, for sure. Not everybody.
Yeah, that's what I mean. That's what okay, I mean.
Good, that's good.
Not a mass extinction event.
Yeah. No. Just the four of us have 20 years or less left. According to our conversation earlier,
a micro extinction event.
I'm psyched. Let's go kill some birds.
All right. Well, we're talking today about movie trailers because the Andor trailer dropped yesterday at the time of this recording, right?
Yes.
And it got us in a conversation about whether or not we should cover the trailer specifically on an episode or make a whole episode about it. And the majority of that conversation was me being maybe a grumpy old school dinosaur of movie viewing and being, oh, well, I don't watch trailers because this, so I don't want to do it, basically is what I said. But then it got me thinking, okay, well, why specifically? How could I articulate this better? And should we actually just have a conversation about how movie trailers are different now than they were 10, 15, 20, 40 years ago? And does that affect the viewing experience? I think we could all say yes to some degree, but there's a lot of discussion to be had in there. So that's what we're doing tonight.
We talked a little bit way back when I was my brief and regrettable stint in Los Angeles from late 2019 to early 2020. Ryan and I were producing some trailer cues, and we talked a little bit about this, I'm sure. Just like about how many people may not be aware of what actually goes into making a movie trailer.
Yeah.
And I would have to do some more reading to know that the real difference in, as you just said, Adam, like what they were versus what they are now. But I got a lot of insight into how a movie trailer or a TV show now, I mean, TV is movies now, you know, Netflix and Prime and Hulu. And mm-hmm. That's they're all 10-hour long films, right? These seasons of these programs that we love. So those count. They make the trailers the same way. But and what I want to find out actually, and what I would like to read about, did the studios used to just make them, right? So like before independent film really took off the way it did, and which I guess, you know, it's been 20-ish years, right? Since independent film studios have really had like massive box office successes, right? But
right.
Did Paramount just make their own trailers? Did Universal just make their own trailer? Right. Now, it's trailer houses. That's what they're called. I mean, every single movie or TV trailer you see is outsourced to a company that specializes in making trailers. And they turn those freaking things over like cookies, man. They're just like next. And I mostly learned about the music side of it. But a fascinating thing I learned is when you watch a trailer from the music side, more often than not, like 9 times out of 10, you're hearing like 6 different artists, like six different cues made by 6 different recording artists in the same trailer. And then I also found out that if you're watching like a 2 or 3 minute long trailer and you get like 40 seconds of your song in like a, I know someone who got about 40 seconds in a Marvel trailer. So we're talking big time, you know, Disney money, big time.
Right.
But they got $50,000 for 40 seconds. And there were more, there were like 3 other artists in that trailer. So they all probably got 50, you know? So it's wild how these things are made. And you wouldn't think that, right? You would think, okay, we've shot the movie. Someone at the studio takes the footage from the movie and puts it all together into a trailer and then you watch it. It's not that at all. Like trailer houses like audition to get the cut, you know? They send
it's
out
like a sub industry.
Yes, they send out the footage
of the movie
like,
industry,
like you know, NDA signed. Send out the stuff to different trailer houses, and who can do the best job? It's like I think a lot of times they're working on spec.
Yeah.
They're auditioning basically to get the job, and then the woman we were working with, it was sort of helping us, giving us advice on like how to make trailer cues and music for trailers. She kind of told us all about all this stuff, and she said it's crazy how many times they go back and edit. Like it's, she said it's insane. Like hundreds of changes. The studio comes back, it's like, we need 0.2 milliseconds off of this one. And then could we have the drums come in with, and they just like constantly, constantly revising what you finally see. And I think that leads us into this conversation today about how much of an impact these trailers make, because it's much shorter, but it seems like the same amount of like passion and intensity goes into editing a minute and a half long clip.
Yeah.
And like, you can't really shoot yourself in the foot with what you're, you know, with your entity, your movie, your television series, if you don't have a good trailer and you don't almost play the game.
Yeah.
Like a trailer needs to feel like a trailer, not necessarily like, well, here's what I want my, how, here is how I want to present myself. It's like, no, you have to do this certain thing if you want anyone to tune in. You know, if your series is coming out on a Friday or your movie's coming out on a Thursday, it's like you kind of have to play the game, and a trailer's a trailer. It doesn't necessarily have to be like the most representative thing of what you're doing. And that's a whole other conversation, is that, you know, especially with Star Wars and Disney Plus, we're not getting much. You know, we're getting visuals. We're not getting story at all.
Well, I don't know, man. I agree with that for most of it, but I would say, and Adam, plug your ears, I guess, because I don't want to give you spoilers. This isn't like spoilers, but with the trailer we just watched yesterday.
Well, I'm editing it regardless, so I could plug my ears.
Oh, yeah, well, that's true. Well, I won't spoil anything for you other than just like, this is sort of like a broad brushstroke of like what the trailer, something that was in the trailer. I think to your point, Nick, what you decide the flavor of the trailer is going to, you know, what the focus of the trailer is going to be, can be totally different than what the film or the show actually is,
right?
And like director, editor, producer, trailer house, all, they all have to make a decision of like, which character are we going to focus on? Which storyline are we going to, like, what? And I think nowadays more than ever, it leans into that sort of clickbait concept. Like,
yeah,
what's going to get people the most excited, even if it's not what the movie's even about, right?
Mm-hmm, for sure.
And so I think with the Andor trailer we saw, and you guys tell me if you got the same vibe, this one did have story, is why I'm bringing this up, Nick, because I agree that a lot of times it's just visuals, like sweeping, cool, like mm-hmm. familiar planets, familiar characters, trailer, boom, Obi-Wan Kenobi. But this one, to me, the idea of like infiltrating, right? The idea of like being a spy, you know, stealing from the Empire, all those things he said, and like showing him from a young age, sort of like infiltrating the Empire in a certain way, like that was very story focused to me. So I'd be interested to see when the show comes out, if we're actually going to like go back to his childhood and like see him doing the, you know, spy stuff as a kid, or if that's just clickbait, because it really could be like, there could be a zero scenes with him as a child in the actual show.
Well, let's pump the brakes on the Andor stuff, because I want to wrap up with everyone's actual reaction to the trailer in a way that keeps in mind that I will be editing this and I'm not actually watching the trailer. So please don't.
I'm going to talk you into it. By the end of this, you're going to be like, yeah, you're right. I'm just going to watch it.
Yeah.
All right.
Maybe we should send it to him.
So
that's my goal for this whole episode, is for you to just be like, yeah, okay.
This brief exchange right here leads me to my first question for everyone. Actually, before I ask it, Ryan and I will briefly remind everyone of how we got here, how this podcast started with our original no spoiler pact for The Force Awakens 7.5 years ago now, 8 years ago now. We wanted to treat it like it was, you know, the end of 79, beginning of 80, and there was an Empire Strikes Back trailer coming out. And the only way that you could see a trailer at that time was, of course, in a movie theater. So that was rule number one. And then it included only seeing the poster in person, things like that. And then not watching any trailers online. If you caught a TV spot, okay, whatever. But the idea was to go in as cold as possible with just a little tease and keep it pure. So since then, I've gone up and down. I watched a lot of the Last Jedi trailers. It changed my experience. I watched just a couple of the Rise of Skywalker. I've gone back and forth, but generally speaking, I don't watch trailers all that much. I see a teaser and that's kind of it. What about you guys? Mike, do you tend to watch all of the trailers, just a couple? What's your approach?
I mean, I will say that the first thing that I take away from is always like, how has marketing changed? Mm-hmm. And there's things now that make it so, like, at the end of the day, marketing is designed to engage with you and it's designed to capture you. So we're almost like the idea of you trying to avoid something in which your phone is listening to you, your phone is feeding you all this content, your algorithm is feeding you content. It has things like autoplay that, like, you scroll by something on Instagram and it just, like, it's going to try to hit you with as much engagement as soon as you see it, right?
Right.
So it's almost like you purposefully have to, in some ways, avoid all your favorite places while these things are happening, right? So I think of the process of how it is now, right? I think of the announcement happens, and that comes from an official channel. Hey, this is happening. Then we have the teaser trailer, which is essentially like Rey Skywalker standing in the desert, and she looks over and sees this dark ship flying towards her and then jumps over it. And that's like three quarters of the trailer. She cuts the thing in half, and it's like The Force Awakens is happening, and then they drop a little tease at the end. Then we get the full trailer that happens. And then we're like, and that
the official trailer.
Exactly. And then they're putting all that stuff out there. So in general, because I appreciate the medium, I love all the content. So like, to me, the trailer is almost like its own piece of art in its own way, because for me, the Force Awakens trailer was completely unmatched in terms of the hype engine. Han and Chewie getting on and Han saying, "Chewie, we're home," was, I'm like,
Jesus.
I still get chills thinking about that. And so, like, for me, I consume all the media, but I know that at this point, the trailer system, like you guys are talking about, is completely designed for the medium that it serves. And then we also have, in addition to, and we saw that, we talked about it on the podcast, even things like the Obi-Wan posters, right? Like, that's been a thing that they've been doing every Monday after they air the episode. Or 2 days, is it 2 days every Monday following? I think they share like a, what's called like a character poster, right?
Right.
Online,
right.
Official channels. And Obi-Wan Kenobi's gave away details of the plot if you were looking for it. And like, that's part of marketing now.
Yeah.
You know, so like, you could have figured out, and we talked about on the podcast that Reva, they literally said like her target was Vader. And so like, if you're willing to like put in that work, sometimes they're leaving crumb trails out there for you to check it out. I don't necessarily think it's like the smartest idea, but at the same time, I think it's fun for them to like send people on wild goose chases again to pump their algorithm, work on all this stuff. So I think really like the way that we feel about movie trailers is more of a symptom of like how marketing has really changed, mm-hmm. in my opinion.
Nick, how about you? I have an idea of what your vibe is, but be specific. How do you think about trailers, and what's the cutoff point for you in terms of watching too much?
I don't watch them too many times, but I watch trailers immediately. And to me, it's about buying in. To me, it's about getting stoked the way that they want you to get stoked. And I can't think of one instance where I was bummed that a trailer showed too much. I can't think of an instance where I was misled. And I guess I'm really speaking specifically about Star Wars trailers. But I appreciate the art form. I want the big, loud, booming, orchestral vocals, like all like I want all of that. That's what I want a trailer to be. And until it's like innovated further, I'll eat up that sort of trailer because it gets me pumped. I look forward to that not just as much, but like that's a thing I look forward to when I know a series or a movie is coming out is the trailer. I appreciate the culture behind, and I'm sure we'll talk about the culture behind breaking down a trailer and talking with your friends about a trailer. I would say one thing that I've learned from, how could I put this?
Just put it.
How I view trailers in a importance sense changed after watching The Force Awakens, watching the trailer for The Last Jedi, and then watching The Last Jedi. Like, Star Wars changed for just about everybody after that. And I don't need to learn twice, like, how to watch trailers after that. Like, I stopped theorizing after The Last Jedi came out because it inevitably, my brain was like, you're wasting your time theorizing. And I've said this on the pod before. It's like, we're not in the writing room. We're not literally making this stuff up from scratch. There's no reason to theorize based off of a trailer because they're showing you something to get you excited. They're not necessarily showing you the plot of the movie. And with Star Wars specifically, they're, I don't want to say misleading, but they're not giving you all the pieces to work with. So to me, they're fun. They're part of marketing. It's something to look forward to. It's something to chat with you guys about. Sure, I'll theorize, but I don't put too much stock into theorizing because I think that we're in a culture of twists and turns, and that's what we want with Star Wars and Marvel is to not see what's coming, and they would never put stuff like that in the trailer. Even if the biggest reveal of like the Rise of Skywalker seeing Dark Rey, that was a big deal, but that had very little importance to the movie, you know?
Yeah.
That just got you stoked. It didn't ruin the movie that it didn't wind up being a big part of it.
But I do wonder, and I would guess that this is the case to some degree, whether or not the producers, the executives, the people who are calling the shots and green lighting or vice versa, the amount of content that goes out, they have to be thinking, okay, we let enough out that the hive mind of internet culture can start theorizing and putting stuff together enough such that people get excited to actually see it. You know, if you make it too vague, it's like, okay, that looks tight, but what's really going to happen? And then that could go wrong in terms of the way internet culture and that mob mentality can shift one direction or the other. Mm-hmm. So it's almost like they have to put out enough to get people stoked and potentially kind of do what happened with Lost or Westworld, where people were just straight up figuring out exactly what was going to happen. Like, there were enough clues that they were just nailing it. And there was another show, I forgot what it was, within the past 5-10 years, where the internet culture and whether it's the message boards or the stuff on social media or whatever, were just nailing it. It was the first season of Westworld, actually, right? They fully figured out exactly what the storyline was, what the parallels were. I'm trying not to spoil it for anyone who hasn't seen it, but it's possible, right? So they look at that and think like, okay, well, we need to give them enough to chew on and balance the expectations in a way that is most lucrative. Mm-hmm. So I get it from a marketing standpoint, but it can go wrong. And for me, it was the same thing for The Last Jedi. And I've said this multiple times. I theorized way too hard. Mm-hmm. Some of the ideas that some friends had, my friend Bobby, who I worked with at the time, had this awesome theory about Snoke being like the first Jedi ever and actually being a clone or something like that. And I got so into that. I was like, oh, that's so sick. That would be amazing. And then I just ran with it. And everything I built up in my head was cooler than what I saw on screen, at least from that perspective in that moment. So I ruined it for myself.
Totally. Yeah. A lot of us did that.
And that changed the way I thought about trailers forever. Mm-hmm. Ryan Key, how much has your attitude towards trailers changed since our original pact, and where do you stand now?
I still don't like seek out anything extra online, you know? I think if a trailer is premiering, I will sit down and make sure it's on the TV with the surround sound and to really take it in and experience it. But I didn't have any of the issues you kind of just ran over with the Last Jedi trailer. I don't think it threw me into a spiral of theorizing and like trying to figure out what it all, I think.
Well, to be clear, I overdid it. I watched it no less than 50 times.
Yeah, but I saw it probably, I'm pretty sure I saw the Last Jedi trailer in a theater as well, you know, kind of trying to keep the vibe that we had going. And yeah, definitely didn't watch it 100 times in a row. So I started the podcast tonight talking about some of the stuff I learned working on music for trailers, which makes me excited to see trailers. You know, I'm intrigued by the music. I'm intrigued by the editing. And I think I have this awareness because of some of the inside knowledge I have that you're not necessarily seeing anything that has to do with the movie itself sometimes. Like, they really are trying to spin you into like just being excited to go see it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So again, like, we can talk about our Andor reaction later, but I just, like, how much backstory? I don't know, but they definitely leaned hard on backstory in the trailer. That made it really exciting because we already know Cassian Andor. Mm-hmm. We already know his place in the rebellion. We know kind of how he got there, but the show may not touch on it at all. But the trailer, it's super effective because it's like, ooh, I want to watch this to get this backstory. And when it's really effective is when you watch the show and it's so fucking good, or you watch the movie and it's so fucking good that you forget, you don't go, well, that was in the trailer and I didn't see it. Because you're transported by the experience of the film, right? So it doesn't matter what doesn't matter what got you in the room, right? Like, you go see a band because you like this one song on the radio and then you realize they have all these other songs that are amazing. It's like that effect.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. Trailers don't deter me or like make me feel like I'm spoiling something for myself. It's part, for me, it is still like the, you know, the 80s and 90s kind of thing we put into the No Spoiler Pact. Watching a trailer that's part of a film to me. It's part of the process for me.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
There is quite a bit that's different about modern trailers. I think a lot that most people are probably aware of, but it's so drastically different, or you realize how drastically different it is when you actually watch an old trailer. So it's not just the style. Like, you'll see people on YouTube do like, The Empire Strikes Back modern trailer, right? And they do the thing where they take the theme and they play it on a soloed instrument really slowly, yeah, right. You know?
Single key. Ding.
Yes.
Ding.
You know, it's, and I think all that came from like the Hans Zimmer era, you know,
Bless him.
Yeah. So you know, you kind of notice it there, but if you really look at the list, like if you write out everything that's different about trailers, it becomes clear that, like Ryan, you said at the top, it is its own sub art form of filmmaking.
For
and
sure.
It's not something that, you know, like Quentin Tarantino couldn't necessarily make a great trailer. Paul Thomas Anderson, you know, J.J. Abrams couldn't make a great trailer because it's a different skill set.
For sure.
It's so honed at this point,
yep,
that it's like writing a pop song in a way.
Absolutely.
It gets you to buy the album, but it's like as straightforward to the point as possible, as certain things are chosen straight up to get you most excited, to get you most hooked. And it's an interesting formula that I think they have nailed now.
What's interesting too is the artist, right? If we're calling it another art form, there's multiple people working just like on a film. There's an editor. There's a music person. There's someone doing the color grading. You know, there's one person overseeing all of that. So like at each of the big trailer houses that are absolutely crushing right now, someone is like the team lead, and it's like, you want to call that, they're like the artist, they're the director, but it's like making a film. And that's why I wonder what it was like, what the process was like of making a trailer in 1983, as far as, was it like just one dude in a room kind of like taking the footage and be like, okay, I'm going to, you know, and then we'll hire the voiceover guy to go, in a galaxy far, far away.
Well, it's very informative too, don't you think? Like, I'm just thinking back to like the, from what I don't know if it was in the ILM doc or whatever, but it was like, coming out May 25th, come back to the galaxy with your pals, Han Solo, Chewbacca, you know, it's like.
100%. So like, was that just a guy? I mean, I'm sure there were people, more than one person, but was it the assembly line that it is now, where like there, you know, there's the same level of crew, production crew on a trailer that there is on the film itself? Who knows? But it definitely is now. There's a producer, an editor, a music editor, a colorist, a mixer. It's a whole production, like making a film that's 2 minutes long.
I would assume old school trailers, I just have this vision of like, you know, Frankie Sharp from Sharp Records from Wayne's World, mm-hmm. that kind of old school cigar smoking producer, executive producer type. It's like, yeah, we need to tell him this will be the best picture of the year. We need to tell him, you know, that kind of like old school voice, just sort of motivating the studio to make these what to us now are super cheesy old school trailers with these really cheesy old school voiceovers.
They're so bad.
And I actually,
they had Harrison Ford do a voiceover for Star Wars.
Say again?
So good.
You know this? Like, there is literally a trailer for Star Wars that Harrison Ford did the voiceover for.
Okay, someone find this right now. And in the meantime, I'm going to play.
He probably hated it.
The original 1977 trailer for Star Wars.
Listen to this. You're going to crack up.
I'm going to play the first one here while you're finding that. This is good times. With Nick referenced from the documentary.
Century Fox and George Lucas bring you an adventure unlike anything on your planet. Star Wars.
Stop that ship! Blast them!
I'd forgotten how much I hate space travel.
Here they come.
This is actually less voiceover than I remember.
They're coming in too fast!
The story of a boy, a girl, and a universe.
That's misleading.
You're my only hope.
It's a big, sprawling space saga of rebellion and romance. This
station. Romance?
Ultimate. Yeah, romance.
Between brother and sister, man. Come on. You ever heard a little romance?
There's nothing for me here now. I want to learn the ways of the Force and become a Jedi like my father.
It's a spectacle, light years ahead of its time.
It's so long.
It is long.
It's an epic of heroes.
Good luck. Hit the accelerator.
Yee-hoo! And villains. No! And aliens from a thousand worlds.
Go that way. You'll be malfunctioning within a day, you near-sighted scrap pile.
God, the lightsaber, dude. Oh, they're both white?
Star Wars. A billion years in the making. The Force will be with you. Always.
Yeah, so like, were they not making them until they had the picture was done, the soundtrack was done? Like, that doesn't sound like someone scored made score music for the trailer. That sounds like John Williams' score to me.
Well, there was no, you were just talking about the lightsabers. That wasn't done, right?
Right. The effects were pretty rough in that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I remember that.
The one I was thinking of, though, that I wish I would have queued before this was the line is something like, "This could all be happening somewhere in the galaxy right now," or some shit like that, right?
Mm-hmm. I remember that.
I think that's in the documentary. It's clear that they were very much marketing minded even then, because that's not necessarily what the story was ultimately about. And it goes back to our conversation, our episode about how George was making it up as he went along as well. But still, it was always about marketing and pushing the thing, but it's just become something else now. But here's the trailer that Mike was talking about. This is 2 minutes and 20 seconds long, but we'll just hear Harrison at the top. And
we'll just listen to Harrison Ford in his baseball announcer voice.
here we go.
Luke Skywalker and Han Solo rescued the princess, destroyed the Death Star, but their story didn't end there. Now, the creators of the biggest smash hit of all time bring you the next episode in the Star Wars saga, The Empire Strikes Back. Continuing story of our band of heroes, Luke Skywalker, Princess Leia, Han Solo, C-3PO, R2-D2, and Chewbacca, and introducing Lando Calrissian. It's an epic of romance.
God, I wish you could see this right now.
Of heroes and villains.
Hear that like lightsaber edit?
They cross trackless voids to unknown worlds.
All right, that's enough. I don't want to embarrass Harrison.
Sounds like Harrison Ford can have fun. Who knew?
Is it credible?
He can have fun for whatever they paid him to do this.
So like there's like a part of me though that goes back to, and one of our patrons, Jason Chiodo, is it professionally does audio mixing for a lot of big time productions, and most recently did the Oppenheimer teaser trailer from Christopher Nolan. And he's dropping just, first of all, this is why you should be joining the Jedi tier, because we're just getting a master class in information right now from Jason. But, you know, what he's saying is like, well, we think of old school trailers are really not that old. It's sort of recognized that the first modern trailer was the teaser for Terminator 2, right? So that is only in the 90s, right? Then you think of really like I said, marketing has changed so much that the trailer in some ways, and I'm trying to make it so that people are really starting to think about trailers. And I even think as to most recently, the Doctor Strange Multiverse of Madness trailer showed Wanda, who is essentially the villain of the movie besides Strange himself. And I don't care if this is a spoiler, if you haven't seen it, cause the film's fine, but
it's been a minute.
Yeah. But Wanda is barely in the trailer. And then the movie starts and she's like, oh, hey, what's up? I'm going to kill everybody at this place. And
she's the central villain of the whole thing. Yeah.
Right. Exactly. And I think about that because then it's like with Star Wars, with Marvel, if you didn't watch WandaVision, another part of their intellectual property, another part of their layout, are you going to be lost as to why all of a sudden an Avenger is after, you know, Endgame? If that was, you didn't watch Disney Plus, you're like, all of a sudden Wanda is bad now. What the heck's going on? And so I think with Star Wars, they're laying out this landscape that has to simultaneously remind people that Star Wars is an ever-expanding story, but it's also stories within stories that we didn't know that we were going to get, right? And so I'm still shocked at the amount of people who haven't seen Solo. They just like, we're like, oh yeah, was that any good? I know you're really into Star Wars. Was Solo any good? I'm like, seriously?
I skipped anything?
right? You know, but it's like, it is interesting to hear people about that, because then they see a trailer and they're like, wait, what timeline is this? Like, what's going on with that? And so I think in a lot of ways, the process of making a trailer is, again, to remind people not only to subscribe to their streaming channel, right, which is a huge part of it too, but Star Wars is in a very particular case too, where they are leaning very heavily into this idea that, like, hey, remember when people started fighting online about Star Wars, but everyone somehow universally agrees that Rogue One is the greatest thing that's ever happened since the Disney buyout, which is this like ongoing conversation. They're really leaning into being like, hey, if you were into that, you should probably sign up for Disney Plus to watch this show. And so I think, like, you know, it's interesting. I think that it's worthy of a conversation to talk about without giving it away. But you know what else I think is interesting? I'd love everyone's take on this too. Did this trailer say, or the original teaser trailer that we saw at Celebration, did that say from the minds of the directors, the producers of Rogue One?
No, but it does now though, right?
I saw a screenshot of that, yes.
It says from the creators of Rogue One.
Yeah.
Okay. So what I think is really interesting about that is that essentially the showrunner of this entire show, really, at the end of the day, is the main writer of House of Cards, which, granted, whatever happened, that was one of Netflix's pre-Stranger Things. That was one of their greatest shows that they had.
I think it was the first one, yeah.
Yeah. And so...
huge hit.
Right, right. But what I'm saying is that it's interesting that they didn't do that because people have forgotten, because our attention spans are so garbage, that show was amazing. And that was a huge reason why people bought a subscription to Netflix, was to watch that show, right? And so even in this little bit of entertainment time, we have moved on from that being an asset that they would lead with, because at some point you could have led with from the creator or the writer of House of Cards and people would have been like, yo, like he does these weaving stories of espionage and treason and treachery very well. Like, I want to watch that. But that's been so far removed that they're reminding you about the universally celebrated Rogue One movie that happened still 7 years ago at this point, right?
Yeah.
It's interesting. They led with that as a title card.
Yeah. The House of Cards hype was early, you know, right around announcement for the super fans like us. We as a community really focused in on exactly what you just said, and that gave us hope for what this could be. And now for the masses, they're playing the Rogue One card. So it makes sense. All that said, I think we should go ahead and just, I could say 100 more things, but I'll say before we move on in closing, Nick, maybe you're right. Maybe I am going to watch this trailer because I had a little mini revelation.
Let me talk to you about it. Come on. What's your revelation? Okay. Let's go.
Where I see trailers revealing too much, where it's a scenario that ends up revealing almost the entire plot by the time you get to the final trailer and the final TV spot, that tends to be stuff where we're talking about like the second or third movie in a trilogy. We're talking about films, or we're talking like any of the MCU stuff where you kind of know what to expect and they just put it all out there. They're like, come on, just see it. It's all going to happen. Here it is. Here's everything. Mm-hmm. And I can't fuck with that.
Yeah.
But if we're starting something fresh, they do lay it out differently. So I might watch it. Plead your case to me.
Are you going to watch it live here in front of us?
Shit, I might. I'll watch. We'll do it after for the patrons.
Here's what I'm going to say. Specifically, you know 5 ways that this story is going to end. You already know that.
Right.
So we live in this culture of, you know, these two Disney entities being Star Wars and Marvel, where the trailer's for entertainment and you know that there's going to be a twist. So they're not going to go anywhere near the exciting twist in a trailer. Like the fact that so-and-so is in the Andor trailer, if he's not in the show, that's a mistake. So why not just put him in the trailer? You know he's going to be in it.
Right.
It's like you already know how Rogue One ends. You already know what happens after Rogue One. Everything that is going to be exciting about this is not going to be anywhere near the trailer. They're showing you visuals of how this looks. They're showing you new characters, new ships that look like old ships. Like they're giving you, hey, everything you like about Star Wars is in this show. Get excited. There's not much to me story-wise. Like, honestly, it looks like there might be politics are back in this, you know? Like, legitimate, like, Senate politics, like Star Wars politics. Like, I'm like, should I expect that? Because that gets me excited at this point in my life. I don't know.
Okay, let's do this. Let's do something special. Let's wrap right now. I'll start a new recording. Patrons, stay in here. I'll watch the trailer. You'll see me react live to it, and then let's have a brief discussion. Everyone who's in here, we can interact as it happens, and I'll put it up on Patreon for everyone who is on the other two tiers who's not in this chat right now. So patreon.com/thankthemakerpod is where you can go to get the rest of this discussion, see me react to it live. I'll do the video. I'll put the whole thing up. And let's just wrap right now. Mike Forrester, do you have anything coming up you want to tell the people about? Want to tell them where you can be found on social media?
Yes, of course. Honda Supply.
That was very Jeff Goldblum also, of you. You're like, yes.
I do. Mike Forrest, I do have a thing.
Right. Slap it on a lunchbox. You want to sell it.
It's a crazy son of a bitch. He did it.
That is chaos theory. That is chaos theory.
We're dorks.
Honda Supply. Thank the maker. A Jurassic Park podcast. yes, Honda Supply on Instagram, and then Armor Party. I have a couple calls in with a couple people, and I'm hoping that our first episode is out within the next 2 weeks of season two, which is going to be very exciting. So Armor Party there. Let's get it going.
Wait, hold up. You didn't say your actual social media handles.
Oh, yeah. You can find me at Honda Supply on Instagram, and you can also find me at Armor Party Show on Instagram as well, which I posted a picture from the trailer of the thing you're about to see, and people are already mad about it. So I look forward to talking about that in the Patreon chat after.
Nikki.
I'm at Nick Bayside on all socials. New Bayside song coming out August 11th. So that's next week, a week from today.
Hell yeah.
My children's book is now shipping, and episode 56 of the Radio Show is all Tony Sly and No Use for a Name, because we just reached the 10-year mark of him passing away. So I played all 10 of my favorite No Use for a Name songs on this last episode, and I cried a lot.
What do you have coming up, Ryan? Can you tell the people?
You can find me on socials at William Ryan Key. And if you're looking for some super good vibes, check out Jedha Music at Jedha Music on socials. J-E-D-H-A. If you know, you know. We have a new single coming out hopefully by the end of August, but if not, right at the top of September. And I think it's the best song that we have recorded yet to date. I make music with my friend Ryan Mendez, who played guitar in Yellow Card. And it sounds nothing like Yellow Card. It's like experimental ambient electronica. But check it out if that sounds interesting to you. And I'm practicing for a Yellow Card show. That's kind of an interesting thing that I never thought I would...
Hell has frozen over.
Never thought I would say out loud. So the reason I bring that up is because you can follow me on Twitch, twitch.tv/WilliamRyanKey, where I will be practicing guitar and vocals and all things Riot Fest. The show is next month, which is just wild how close we are to it. We're playing a show for the first time in over 5 years. So if you want to hang out with me while I learn how to play guitar again, follow me on Twitch. And that's all I got.
My band's story of the year is doing stuff again. We have a new song that's coming out within this month. I'll say that. And we're actually playing a show. We booked another show, a festival here in St. Louis. It's August 21st. It's a 3-day festival. It's a free thing. It's like an outdoor thing at this awesome brewery.
Brewery. It's a hard word, man.
It's not a word I can say well. It sucks. It's like rural.
Road.
it's called Pig and Whiskey. It's at Schlafly Bottle Works in Maplewood. And if you're anywhere near St. Louis and you want to see us play a show, and we're not playing in your town, come hang out. It's free. It's going to be sick. Tech Nine is direct support for us.
Hell yeah,
that show.
That's awesome.
That's great.
And Sebastian Box playing the night before. It's going to be crazy. Anyway, at Story of the Year on all the stuff, at Adam the Skull on all the stuff for me. This podcast is at Thank the Maker Pod on Instagram and TikTok. We are at Thank the Maker on Twitter, and patreon.com/thankthemakerpod is where you can go to participate in all of this stuff that I said earlier. We're going to hang up, boomer alert. We're going to end this stream and do another one with the patrons, with the Jedi Council patrons, and then that'll be available to the rest of the patrons.
Hang up the phone!
That's going to be it. I have to stop talking now. Dudes, thank you for being here. Patrons, thank you for being here. And until next week, may the Force be with you.